Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we're so thankful, Lord, for just having this privilege, Lord, as these few days left on earth to come together, to get prepared, Lord, for seeing the great number 82 coming up, the change of the body. And Lord, we know that it's in your timing, but yet we do know that one day with God is 1,000 years with man. But let us think your thoughts. So tomorrow we wake up and we'll change. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. You know, I think about Abraham and Sarah. They woke up one day and they were changed. And they got so excited they started sporting with each other. So anyway, we had questions and answers yesterday. And we had 44 people there. 30 of them were on the regular hookup and 14 were on YouTube. So I think there was only like maybe 4 men that weren't ministers. So we had about 40 ministers. That's around the world. So I think it's really, really good because if you look at the questions they gave and the answers, you see that the brothers are all coming into a unity of the faith, which is Hebrews 4 says, when the fivefold ministry come, when they come to the unity of the faith, then it's all over. So, and it was just so heartwarming to see from all over the world, their questions all had to deal with right now. You know, no longer you had questions about marriage and divorce and things like that. You know, kind of the, like Paul said, moving on, let's go on to the doctrine of Christ. And so, anyway, so here are the questions. Now, quote number one, Hebrews 11:39 says, and these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided something better for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Well, you know, that really tells you that we don't get a change before them. We actually get a change with them, okay? But also from his sermon, Stature of a Perfect Man, he says, you get it? These people who died in here are depending and waiting on us. So this church has got to come to perfection in order to bring the resurrection. Now, this perfection, of course, I'll get into this in just a minute. Souls under the altar, waiting for this church to come to its perfection. So we're looking for this church to come to its perfection. Now, the question number one is there a link between the living and the dead which will provoke or make the resurrection come to pass? Well, you know, the answer is, sure, the link is this. We have the same word. They died in faith having the same word. We die in faith having the same word. See, Brother Brown didn't come to bring a new doctrine or new revelation or anything. He came to restore. He restored us back to Paul's day. So when we see Paul, he'll be 20 like I am. All right? Brother Vell will be 20 like I am. Brother Brown will be 20 like I am. Justin, you'll be 20 like they are. We're going to be brothers. And we are brothers. And so to see that they have the same revelation that we have, so anyway, this perfection we're talking about that the bride comes to is not a perfection as, you know, like we're perfect people. It's a perfection as we're a mature in the word people. Okay? So that was not just for the end time bride. That is all the bride of all the ages. So anyway, by one spirit, we have all been baptized into one body. So they were baptized into one body. You're baptized in one body. See? And he that's working in you to will and to do was written 2,000 years ago. But it's for us, but it's also they lived it. And God worked through them. Now, and Paul said, Romans 8:10, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. That's right, wiseness. See, your correct understanding brings you to a correct way of living. Now, that is the right kind of thinking. You think his thoughts. Let the mind which was in Christ be in you. That was said for all ages. That is not new to us at the same time. And then he said, but if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. So that has been for God's bride since the day of Pentecost 2,000 years ago. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh, but you live after the flesh, or if you live after self, you shall die. But if you through the spirit to mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. That's the promise of the Holy Spirit since the original day of Pentecost. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. You think these people who gave their life for this gospel did it in fear? You think they were afraid and they died in their fear? I don't think so. They had the spirit, not fear. They willingly went forth and said, hey, take your arrows right here, right there. Okay, take your guns, you know, Mr. President, and put them right there because I'm ready to go. You know, and they didn't have fear. The Spirit itself beareth witness, the Spirit, God's Spirit, beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. God's own Spirit bears witness with you. How? He does things that you would like, you know, he puts in your mind to will, and then he does. You see? So if the same word was given back then, produced results, so it will do the same today. The same word, the same life, will produce the same results in you. Now from the Church Age book, Brother Branham said, that's the way the church is. The vine has been split and limbs have been grafted in. They have been grafted in Baptist limbs and Methodist limbs and Presbyterian limbs and Pentecostal limbs. And all those limbs are bearing Baptist and Methodist and Pentecostal and Presbyterian fruit. Denominational seeds from which they produce their fruit. But, if the vine ever brings forth another branch, that branch will exactly be like the vine itself. It will be the same kind of branch that we brought in forth at Pentecost. It will speak in tongues, prophesy, have the power and signs of the resurrected Jesus in it. Why? Because it's thriving on the natural resources of the vine itself. You see, it was grafted into the vine. It was born in the vine. When those other branches were grafted in, all they could do was bear their own fruit, for they were not born of that vine. In other words, you put an orange on a mango or a, you know, another citrus tree, like a lemon, you're going to actually, if you put the branch and you graft it in, you know, and you tie it together and everything, it'll grow oranges. It won't grow what the regular fruit is, because it's still the same citrus fruit. That Brother Branham said when he was down in California, he saw a tree that had like oranges and tangelos and other things, you know, lemons and other things. And he said, how could that be possible? He said, well, because, you know, the branch bears its original fruit. So you bring in the Baptists and the Methodists and the Episcopalians and the Catholics and whatever denomination they are, and they're going to bear Baptist and Methodist and Presbyterian fruit because that's what they are, even though they're living off the vine, which is Christ. Okay? So he says, it was grafted into the vine. It was born in the vine. When those other branches were grafted in, all they could do was bear their own fruit, for they were not born of that vine. They don't know about that original life and original fruit. They cannot know, for they were not born of it. But if they had been born of it, that same life that was in the original stem, Jesus, would have come through them and manifested through them. John 14:12, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. All right? So, it is just a matter of timing. Remember, 1,000 years with man is only one day with God. So, start thinking like God thinks, and tomorrow, you and them will get your change together. Also, never forget William Branham did not come with a new message. He said, I only preach what Paul preached. And Paul said, and if any person, any man, including himself, comes to you preaching anything contrary to what I've taught, let him be accursed. That's Galatians 1:6 and 1:9. So you see how important it is to say what Paul said. Therefore, if you cannot find what Brother Branham tells you in the message from the Bible, you better start looking for it because it's there. And if you cannot find it, that is because you don't understand what he said to begin with. Just like when Brother Branham said in Revelation 12, the devil, he looked like a serpent, he took his tail and drew a third of the stars. Brother Branham said, you see, it wasn't his tail, you know, like he has a tail, but it was a tale that he told. In other words, it wasn't the T-A-I-L, it was a tell that he told. You say, well, wait a minute now, where's the Bible for that? Well, in Isaiah 9 and 15, it says the ancient and honorable, he's the head, but the prophet that teaches lies, that's the devil, is the tail. So you see, he was exactly with the scripture on that, and people just don't read their scriptures, and they don't have an ability because they're not born again. I'm sorry. So, from question number 2, he said, what the Holy Ghost was given for? Same Holy Ghost that saved the Lutherans, that sanctified the Methodists, that baptized the Pentecostals, is now setting in order the coming of the Lord, when it'll be so powerful that body will come into this group of church that'll draw the rest of them from the grave. There'll be a resurrection. Now, so answer then is to number 2. So we are looking at the one who is here, and he is the same one who is back 2,000 years ago. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God was in Jesus reconciling the world unto himself. And that same God is here carrying out his parousia, which according to Jesus and Paul and Peter and John and James, he has 86 signs and events associated with his presence. Then if these signs, and you say, well, how do you know that? Because he said so. He said so. He said many, you know, there'd be wars and rumors of war. He said, you know, many will be persecuted. You know, he said all these signs and events, and if we just stop and think, yeah, those are signs and those are events that are taking place. That's what they said, okay? So there's 86 signs and events and associated with his presence. Then if these signs and events all declare his parousia, then that one is here performing what he said he would do. And he is in the church working in his elect again to will and to do, just as the Apostle Paul said that he would do. So nothing is out of kilter. God is here and he's doing it. We're just sitting back and we're hearkening. Okay, if you hearken to the voice of the Lord. So we're hearkening, we're paying attention to what he's doing. The rest of the world's not paying attention. They're focused on Ukraine and this and that, and they even don't understand why Russia's down there. Brother Branham, in 1951, said when Russia goes for the oil. So, you know, if they believed in a vindicated prophet, they would have been looking for this to happen, but they're not, okay? So, second quote, from We Would See Jesus, he says, so has the church in the days of Luther, the days of Wesley, days of Pentecost, and now just before the headstone comes into it, that church has to be honed so perfect till the same ministry that he did here, his same spirit, so predominant, will bring that same body right into it and resurrect the whole thing. That's exactly amen, glory to God. So who is doing it? God is doing it. So, you know, I'm tired of waiting, I'm it's going to be a week from now, or it's going to be, you know, a month from now, or a year from now, or 10 years from now. No, just stop that. Think like God thinks. Tomorrow I'm getting my change. Because listen, in God's mind, it is tomorrow. You know, he hasn't changed with times. God's not an object of time. But he has said, okay, tomorrow it will happen. In other words, he said after 2 days, right? We've already had 2,000 years, so it's coming tomorrow. Tomorrow, I'm waking up with my change. Tomorrow, I'm 20 years old. Tomorrow, Paul's 20 years old. Tomorrow, William Branham's 20 years old. Tomorrow, Lee Vail is 20 years old. Tomorrow, Michael and Don and myself, you know, us old crusty guys, are going to be 20 years old. All right? And I'll have my hair. Okay, so that's a really good thing. So, number 3. Does the Spirit fulfill the resurrection through the end-time bride? Answer is no. He told us the resurrection lays in him. He is the resurrection and the life. What was the ministry of William Branham? It was the Holy Spirit, Christ. He said, the messenger of this age is the Lord Jesus Christ. Brother Branham was just a vessel. Just a vessel. You and I are just a vessel. But he's doing it. See, and so he is the resurrection. He is the life. So he is, you know, he's already started his resurrection because he came down and performed through William Branham. And he performed all these things. And we see all these things that he has done, 81 of the 86. And we're going down the escalator. He's doing it. We don't even have to walk. We're just for the ride. And he's going to take us into it. I just think it's really, really great. All right, so he is the resurrection and the life. That is what he said himself, and he changes not. Then, what is That is what the parousia is all about. Brother Branham would often say, if the resurrected Lord Jesus is here, he will perform the very same things he did back then. Then he turned his back to the woman and he said, he told her the secrets of and the desire of her heart. And people didn't catch it. That's the same thing God did to Sarah before she got her change. So God used a man. Yes, he used a man because he always used a man. But he did it. Brother Branham would then talk about the woman at the well. What was that about? He told her the secrets of her heart. As well as God spoke to Abraham and Sarah, turning back the woman in the tent. Therefore, she, the bride, cannot do anything but what he wills her to do and then does himself. Brother Branham said in his sermon, Spoken Words, Original Seed, notice what harmony. Jesus never did anything until seen of the Father or the Father showed him first. Harmony between God and Christ, John 5:19. So will the bride. And he shows her his word of life. He shows her. And she receives it. She never doubts it. Nothing can harm her, not even death. For if the seed be planted, the water will raise it up again. Amen. Now I got a great big hallelujah. Here's the secret. The word is in the bride and the mind of Christ to know what he wants done with the word. And so she does it in his name. She has, thus saith the Lord, or the Lord said thus. Then it is germatized, so the Holy Spirit waters it until it grown and serves his purpose. They do only his will. Amen. I'll believe that. No one can persuade them different. They have thus saith the Lord, or what? They keep still. They don't say, well, this black hole about this, and they don't come in with, things like, two lords or two souls or seven thunders or whatever, They just say what he said. He said the thunders are contained in the seals, so they're contained in the seals. I mean, I don't have to think about it because he said it, all right? So I don't have to think about, the Lord said unto my Lord. I know that there's only one Lord, so how is that possible? Because God entered his son. You see, so, you don't have to come up with the Message Plus or some great revelation. Like one minister told me, he's a brother, he's been in the message for many, many years. And he said, my preacher, he's really terrible. He's now preaching things like, he told us, I'm going to preach to you what Brother Branham didn't preach. Well, why would we care? It's not going to perfect us. What Brother Branham brought was for perfection. And was to be given to a fivefold ministry, who break it down, to be perfected by it. So I'm not interested. My defense at the white throne is, hey, I only said what he said. And I took it back to scripture. So, if I'm wrong, I'm sorry, but you said it. And your scripture says it. Other prophets said it. So it must be right. You're kind of a cranky person or you're kind of a belligerent or whatever. So what? That's my personality. Now, it has nothing to do with what I believe. See, you got to get your eyes off of the flesh and get your eyes on what does he really believe? Is he right? Yes, he's right. Yeah. He's right. So then just leave the body alone because, I won't have those picadillos when we spend eternity together, okay? I'm just going to be, I'll be okay and you'll be okay. So, all right. So here's the secret. The word is in the bride with the mind of Christ to know what to do, but he wants done with the word, and she does it in his name. She has thus saith the Lord, then it's germatized. So the Holy Spirit waters it, grown, and serves his purpose. They only do his will. Amen. I believe that. No one can persuade them different. We're not interested in what you have to say. I'm interested in what you have to, if you have to quote a prophet, hey, I'm interested in that. But if you have something to say, Brother Ram was a liar because, he said 77,000. Well, give me a break. He's a human being too. I'm sorry, but if the prophet said, and he even apologized for it many times, and they still bring it up. Oh, well, the prophet was right. One man wrote a book. He said, Brother Ram was wrong these 23 places, and I'm going to correct the error. Well, who are you to correct it? I'm sorry, just shut your fat mouth. Because he's an adulterer anyway, so why should I even listen to him? I'm talking about something overseas, but, he wrote this book out there and said, Brother Branham made 23 mistakes. Well, he did make 23 mistakes. You didn't understand 23 times, at least 23 times. And now, because you're correcting a vindicated prophet, you don't understand, period. So, all right. No one can persuade them different. They have thus saith the Lord, or the keeps you. Then they will do the works of God. Now listen, if God tells you, or you, to go do something, and you obey him, humble yourself, obey him, then you can expect for God to do what he told you. And if it doesn't happen, then you didn't hear him correctly. And if you didn't go, that's your problem. All right? But if God says it, God will do it. And who are you? You're just a vessel in whom is just along for the ride. Like people say, you know, when I talk about all the miracles God did overseas, they say, wow, you know, that's really fanatic or, you know, fantastic. And I say, no, I'm just a witness. Actually, I'm just a witness of what he did. So, you know, many of us, I shouldn't say many of us, maybe none of us, were witnesses back when Brother Branham was living. And yet, you saw God do things, all right? You saw God do things that were real, that were genuine. Now, was William Branham doing it? Absolutely not. He said, my biggest enemy is myself. And our biggest enemy is ourself, because we have to learn to listen to that still, small voice. All right? So, for it is himself in them continuing his word to fulfill as he didn't complete in his day. All things were not yet complete. He did not complete all when he was here. It was not yet time. Okay. Question number three. From his sermon, Perseverance, that's right. Now, I believe that there's a church coming into that perfection, that ministry of perfection, where the offices were apostles, prophets, teachers, pastors, evangelists, for the perfecting of the church, then pastors and teachers and so forth, will be so with the word. Listen, that's the key right there. So with the word until the whole thing will work right up to the coming of the Lord. I believe that, and I believe that we're nearing that time now. I believe it so. So the question is, would this mean that the ministry of perfection in this age, which is the Lord's ministry, will have to deal with the fivefold ministry as well? As well as what? As well as with Brother Brown. Okay? Well, the question, the answer to that is yes. That is what he said. Now remember, we are perfected by the blood. But this perfection he's talking about is for the maturing of the church, getting it ready for the adoption or change of the body. Ephesians 4 tells us there's one body and one spirit, even as we are called in one hope of your calling. So if you say there's two Lords, then you're saying something contrary to Scripture, because Paul said it, William Branham said it, and Jesus said it, and Moses said, behold, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one Lord. That's the first of all our commandments, okay? Now, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? All right, that's where Charlie sent me a question. He was reading the scripture, talked about how Jesus went to preach in to the souls in prison. And he said, do you know what our Brother Branham actually taught on that? And so I sent him 29 quotes, where Brother Ram said that, you know, Jesus actually, before his resurrection, he went down to hell and preached to souls in hell. And so those souls that were prisoners were actually in hell, okay? And so he gave that. And so anyway, so it says, wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended into the lower parts of the earth? See, that's your hell. Okay. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above the heavens, that he might fulfill all things. And he gave some to be apostles and prophets, some prophets and some teachers, evangelists and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith. So I was so thrilled to see the questions were all about this resurrection time, all about what's happening right now. And I told the brothers, I said, you know, we just call ourselves brothers here, but actually we are brothers. I am more of a brother to you than I am to my own brothers. And I am more and a brother to Paul and to Peter and to John. And we'll all be 20 years old, living in that glorified condition the rest of eternity. Wow, you just think about that. Next, and that's tomorrow. All right? So, till we all come into the unity of the faith. So that's when the fivefold ministry's job is done. I won't have to do any more because we've all come to the unity of the faith. We get resurrected and get out of here. We get our change. And I don't care about being a pastor or being an apostle anyway. I just want to be a brother. And so till we all come to the unity, that's when it's over with. That's our, you know, you have a job description and you have to do this and this. Well, that's our clause, our get out clause. My get out clause is I'd rather, honestly, it might sound kind of sick, but I'd rather be in the arms of Christ right now than, you know, sitting here, just because my body's not the way I want it to be. But my get out of jail clause is the resurrection. So I'm willing to wait and be with you people, and we'll all walk over together. All right? Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. In other words, that we have the character of Christ. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men, cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. By speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him. In other words, the head fits the neck perfectly. And that's of course, the neck is the body, the head is Christ. May grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. From whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working of the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. So, although we are forever perfected by the blood of the Lamb, yet God has dressed the bride using five gifts he has placed in the church for dressing her in his word, making her ready, helping to bring her to maturity. Now, you might say that job of Malachi 4 to dress the bride, you said Brother Branham was going to dress the bride, you don't understand the scripture. In the Old Testament, the bride had one man over them all, because they had a many-member bride. They had many, you know, many, many women in the cluster, right? The bride had one man over them all, but a whole host of people to dress her with the robes she was given by that one man. In other words, that man would say, I want her to wear purple and give her this sash, give her this garment, and then this one over here, I want her to wear this color. And because it would go with her complexion and stuff. So the one man was in charge, but he had stewards. He had eunuchs, okay? And the eunuchs were basically men who then gave the woman the clothes to wear and dress her. So the bride, you see, the prophet of God has given us the word, and he handed it down to a fivefold ministry who are faithfully taught, and they are using the same word to dress you. You see the type there, okay? So the bride had one man over them all, but a whole host of people to dress her with the robes she was given by that one. So many people want to put it all into one. All right. In other words, Brother Branham is so busy addressing 7,000 people. Listen, he doesn't have time. It would take forever and ever and ever. But like I told the ministers, I've said, now that we have come to a unity of the faith, it's up to you to dress your people. It's up to you to get your people ready. You see? So the bride had come to this place. So many people want to put it on one man, the shoulders of one man, but that is not the example given to us in the Bible. He might have been over the entire group of virgins, but this bride is a many-member bride, and there are five offices that she is dressed in. Okay? Now, Titus 2:10 says, not purloining, and the word purloin means not holding back, to withhold, not withholding the truth, and we're told not to do so, but showing or manifesting all good fidelity. This means you are constantly professing, you are a straight shooter, and won't compromise with anybody, that they, who's they, it is the ones you are speaking to, may adorn or be dressed in the doctrine of our God in all things. In 2 John 9, it says, tells us, if they have not the doctrine of Christ, they don't even have God. So you're dressed in the doctrine. You're dressed in the word, okay? Now, and that is no different than what the Apostle Paul said. If they have not Christ, they are none of his. In other words, you are dressed in the doctrine of the word. Question number 4. Putting on the whole armor of God, Brother Branham said, now, God fortified his army with what? Himself, in the form of prophets, apostles, teachers, and pastors. What did he do? What was God doing? Listen, you ever think what that office of the church is? It's God's dress, inside dress. An apostle, a prophet, a seer, a foreseer, before Satan ever gets to it, done told it. What is it? God dressed up in his church. These offices is God's dress wear. When you see those offices, pastors, teachers, evangelists, what is that? That's God's dress wear, God's presence, God's spirit, and it's working through men. Okay? Now, so question four. Without any fanaticism, can we say that his spirit will be totally identified in the fivefold ministry in these last days? Though many today are denying those gifts as being placed in the church by God himself. Well, the answer is, well, actually, God identified with one man throughout the world, all right? But we are identified with him by saying what he said, and therefore getting his people ready. I can show you where God put them in his Bible, and they have a clause, until we are all come in the unity of the faith. Now, you tell me, who is in the unity of the faith today? So if God puts them in there, where did he take them out? In other words, when people say that there's no fivefold, we got a prophet, we don't need a fivefold, they're liars. They're just absolutely liars. The curse is upon them, because Paul said, if you say anything that I didn't say, you're cursed. So I'd rather not try to do that, because actually, when you take the fivefold out, your name is taken from the book of life. And so, and those people that add false doctrines to what the prophet taught, they get the tribulation period. So, you know, I'd rather be sitting in a place where we just say what he said. All right? So now, speak to this mountain. Brother Branham said, the Bible said there's five offices in the church that is ordained of God and put in the church, office holders. First is apostles, prophets, teachers, evangelists, pastors. They're God's foreordination. By predestination, by foreknowledge, he saw it, placed it in the church for every age. So, all right, so it's there. God did it. If a man sets up a church and then the people decide they want that ministry, there is no vote. But if the man is put in there by the people, then he can be put out by the people. But with these, there are actually five officers that God put in the church, and you can't take them out. All right? Now, he has placed them in the church because people just can't comprehend what the word teaches. So he ordains these gifts to break down the word so that people can understand it. Now, from an eagle stirs up her nest, he sends his word. If you won't believe his word, then he puts in the church five different offices. So, see, he sends his word. Then if you don't believe his word, see, if you're listening to tapes and you don't believe it, now he sends the fivefold ministry to help you to understand. You see? So his word. And he puts in the church five different offices. First, apostles, prophets, teachers, and pastors, evangelists. They are for the perfecting or the maturing of the church. And in each local body, he put in nine spiritual gifts in the local body. That's gifts that goes from one to another. But these are ordained and predestinated of God. Gifts and callings are without repentance. You know that? Sure. Sure they are. Now, God sets them in the church. Now, he said it. Paul said it. He's saying the same thing Paul said. God sets them in the church. Okay? So who are we to take them out? Now, from God's provided way of healing, he says gifts and callings are without repentance. Those things are first given of God. Them offices is set in the church by God, and in my opinion, there's where so many of this day has made a mistake. When we say, now I will go over and seek for God to make me this or that, you cannot do it. See, you are what you are by grace. Nothing that you can do within yourself, God gives. God has set in the church, apostles, teachers, and prophets, is that right? God has set in the church for the perfecting. So not the bishop has them, or the elder has, or someone else, but God has. And they are, those offices has put in the church. So in other words, you don't have some man saying, well, I think you're a minister, therefore I'm going to pray over you and ordain you. And you know, brothers all the time, I would go overseas and they'd say, you know, would you pray for me? Because I have a call, but, you know, I really want someone to lay hands on me. So that others will recognize. Well, see, others will recognize if you, you know, I told a woman one time at work, she was wondering how she could get promoted. I said, well, when you think like a senior buyer, you think like a manager, you act like a manager, you talk like a manager, you dress like a manager, and you do the works of a manager. I said, you'll be promoted just because you are. But I said, but when you sit at the drinking fountain and gossip all day, I said, you're not going to make it as a manager. You've got to quit that out. You've got to start acting like a manager, thinking like a manager, talking like a manager, and all those things a manager. And then, you know, if you walk like a duck, talk like a duck, and quack, you know, and everything else, you are a duck. Okay? So, you know, it's not a matter of someone else putting you in there. Now, from here you hear him, he says, now, friends, there's five offices in the church, prophets, or evangelists, pastors, teachers, and apostles, or missionaries, or either one you want to call them, both the same. God set in the church for the perfecting of the church, okay? And from perseverance. Now, listen, I've got all kinds of quotes on this stuff, but I just put about four or five just to give you that flavor, okay? Now, I pray that these men of God, your servants, you've got five offices in the church. You said that you ordained in the church first apostles, then prophets, teachers, pastors, evangelists. God, you set them in the church. Maybe they cannot prophesy and say things. Maybe they do not have discernment, but they are men who are teachers and pastors. In other words, every one of them, fivefold ministry, preaches a certain way if he's a pastor. He preaches a certain way if he's an apostle. He preaches a certain way if he's a teacher. He preaches a certain way if he's an evangelist. You know, evangelists are really hot. You know, but they're preaching the same gospel if they are true fivefold ministry. It's just the way that they do it. Every bell, you know, that has a different size to it, has a different ring to it, and you can play your bells and play all kinds of songs if you have the right bells. Okay, so maybe they do not have discernment, but they are men who are teachers and pastors. Now, questions and answers. He says, 54. He said, there is five offices elected of God. For God is set in the church, apostles, prophets, teachers, and pastors, evangelists. God did that. Man has deacons and so forth and everything else. But you see, but God set in the church for the perfecting of the church. You can't divide it. All right, so don't even try. God did it. All right, now, from thirsting for life. People say, I can stay at home and be just as good of a Christian as I can at church. You can't. You can't. Did you? I want you all to say, you can. You can. Okay. The Bible said, not forsake ourselves, to assemble ourselves together, and that much more as we see the time coming. If you're a Christian, you long to go where other Christians are and fellowship with other Christians. You cannot stay away from church and live the same life. You cannot do it. Because it's like, I'm hungry, but I will never go to the table to eat. All right? I will never eat. I ain't going to do it. See, you've got to go and feed on the Word of God and fellowship one with another. We need one another more now than we did each other, than we ever did need each other now. When you get yourself singled out from the rest of them, making yourself just a little bit different, you don't want to associate with them because they believe this and don't want to associate with that, you're getting on dangerous ground. Right then, keeping away from church. Now, Brother Branham, Sister Phillips, Brother James Phillips' wife, not Rebecca Phillips, anyway, it's Sister Phillips, Betty Phillips. Yeah, I was going to say Betsy, that didn't sound right. It's Betty Phillips. Anyway, she spent time, she was a good friend with Rebecca Branham. So Brother Branham asked Brother Collins, he said, since Becky is out of school, can she come with us to Tucson and spend a couple months, maybe 3 months, and then we'll have her back by school time. Brother Collins, because Brother Branham, you know, he didn't want to say, hey, I'm taking your daughter with me. He was very conscientious, and he went and asked Brother Collins. And Brother Collins, he said, yes, you know, I know that she'll be in good company. So he sent her with them to Tucson. Well, they went to church one Sunday, and the next Sunday, you know, Brother Branham said, come on, time for church. And Billy Paul rose up and said, I ain't going. And Brother Branham said, why aren't you going? He said, because they didn't say anything about you. They didn't even acknowledge you. You know, and Brother Branham said, I didn't go there to be acknowledged. I went there to worship. Now get yourself ready for church. So Brother Branham did it. Why don't the rest of them do it today? I don't know. They just don't believe what the prophet said. So he said, you're getting on dangerous ground right then, keeping away from church. Find one of your choice and remain there and be a Christian brother to all of them. That's the way to be a real Christian. Now, he went to a brother, and I forget his name. He was an Assemblies of God minister. And actually, Perry Green ended up buying his building, and that's how there wasn't any churches in the message in Brother Branham's day. So after Brother Branham, actually right before he left, Perry Green bought that church from the Assemblies of God and said, okay, now we have a place where message believers can go. And so then we've got fellowship protection. People love you and pray for you. All right. So anybody that gets this inkling they don't need to come to church, just read that quote. I'll share it with you one more time and those online. All right. Thirsting for Life, 1960, paragraph 32. All right, now. If you don't have a church, you must see that you'll die spiritually. You'll just dwindle away if you don't have a church. Why don't you go and talk to them? They'd be glad to help you. They're brothers in Christ, and they'd be glad to help you. Isn't that right, brethren? Yes, very happy to help you and help you along. Do anything that you can for you. Good, faithful men, someone who will watch over your soul and care for you. Okay, that's another quote. Now, from Balm and Gilead, now there's offices, there's five offices that God put in the church. There's nine spiritual gifts that accompany that office and all members of the body. The first is apostles, which is missionaries. The word apostle means one that's sent. The word missionary means one that's sent. The same word. Apostles, prophets, teachers, pastors, evangelists. These offices God sets in the church. They're all in operation or should be. Notice the word or should be. So those people that say that you know, we don't need it, I'm sorry, but you know they need the Holy Ghost. Because if you got the Holy Ghost, you'll believe all things, right? But they don't. Okay. We, you know, people. I know I'm going to get mocked for this. Say, well, you're saying that people don't have the Holy Ghost. Yeah, I am saying that they don't have the Holy Ghost, because if they have the Holy Ghost, they wouldn't say that. They wouldn't contradict a prophet. They wouldn't contradict the Apostle Paul. Right? We cannot bypass one and say there is a teacher without saying an evangelist. Oh, see, they all believe Joseph is a prophet, but they don't believe that there's five in the fivefold ministry. They only believe there's one office. And see, you know, they at least, many of them say, well, there's only one prophet, and that's Joseph Branham. Now, some of them will say, and he's actually got twice as great a ministry as William Branham, but, you know, that's so nonsensical that it doesn't even make any sense. But anyway, Joseph won't say that himself. But he'll say that he's a fivefold minister, he's a prophet. But they don't believe there's pastors and teachers and evangelists, whatever. Oh, excuse me. Yeah, we got an assistant pastor. Okay. Well, anyway, no, there is a pastor, and there's a prophet, and there's evangelists, and there's teachers, and there's apostles. Okay. We cannot say there's an evangelist without saying there is an apostle. We cannot say there's apostles without admitting there's prophets. All of them are for the perfecting of the body. The Lord gives us visions. Some things begin when I was a little baby. I do not believe that man can be called called of man and be a successful minister. In other words, Brother Branham can lay hands on half a dozen people, there's a record on it, and say, you know, I pray, Lord, that this man would be a minister of the gospel. And they say, well, see, I'm called to God because I had a prophet of God, so, you know, pray that I'd be minister. Hogwash. It's not what he's saying. You know, a prayer for something is not the same as saying he is. All right? So he said, you cannot be put in there in the fivefold by a man. You've got to be put in by God. All right? The Lord gives me visions. Those things begin when I was a little baby. I do not believe that a man can be called of man and be a successful minister. I believe gifts and callings are without repentance. That's God by foreknowledge, foreordained his ministers into the gospel and the gifts into the church. Do I need to say any more? Now, from Spurgeon church age, he said, in every age we have exactly the same pattern. That is why, now every age, Paul's age, Irenaeus' age, Wesley and Martin Luther and all Malachi, all those ages, okay, and John Wesley, we have the same pattern. That is why the light comes through some God-given messenger in a certain area, whether it be East Africa, whether it be or Asia, whether it be England, whatever, United States, Jeffersonville. And then from that messenger, there spreads the light through the ministry of others who have been faithfully taught. But, of course, all those who go out don't always learn how necessary it is to speak only what the messenger has spoken. Now, remember, Paul warned the people to say only what he said. He said in 1 Corinthians 14:37, if any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. Now what? Came the word of God out from you? Or came it unto you only? They add here or take away there, and soon the message is no longer pure, and the revival dies down. How careful we must be to hear one voice, for the Spirit has but one voice, which is the voice of God. Paul warned them to say what he said, even as Peter did likewise. Now notice, Paul warned them to say what he said, not play what he said, not read the, not to get your Bible out, and we're going to read now from Paul and from Peter, and, say what he said, say it. Say it, okay? Or the revival dies down. How careful we must be to hear one voice, for the Spirit has but one voice, which is the voice of God. Paul warned them to say what he said, even as Peter did likewise. He warned them even he, Paul, could not change one word of what he had been given by revelation. Oh, how important it is to hear the voice of God by way of his messengers, and then say, not play, say what has been given to them to say to the church. All right, now, quote number 5. Those in the bride do only his will. No one can make them do otherwise. They have thus saith the Lord, or they keep still. They know that it has to be God in them doing the works, fulfilling his word. He did not complete all his works while in his earthly ministry, so now he works in and through the bride. She knows that, for it was not yet time for him to do certain things that he must do now. But we will now fulfill through the bride, but he will now fulfill through the bride that work which he left for a specific time. So question number 5 is, what work is he talking about in this quote? And what does he mean by specific time? First, let me say what the bride will not do. My answer. They will not do the sign of Messiah, which is to discern and tell them the secrets of the heart, unless you say, well, William Branham is part of the bride, and he did those things, and so the bride does those things. That's fine. But you are not a prophet of God. But he was, okay? Now, that is only for his prophets. And he did not do it that with every prophet either, but only a selected group, Samuel and different ones like that. But what does he mean by specific time? Well, right now is the specific time. This time, you will do the following. From his sermon, we would see Jesus. William Branham tells us why John 14:12 is for all and what purpose it is for. He said, but now while he's here working in his church in the form of the Spirit, then if his Spirit is with us, he will act, notice he will act just exactly like he acted when he was here on earth. And it'll make you act the same way, because it's not your spirit anymore. It's His spirit in you, Christ's spirit in you. The things that I do, he that believeth on me, St. John 14:12, the works that I do shall ye do also. So if the bride today is not doing the works of Christ, then I would say that Christ is not in the bride. In other words, not in that bride that you call bride, but he is in someone. All right? Because someone is doing the works of God. Now, see, we will do the same works. Think the same thoughts. Live the same type of life. Isn't living the works of the Holy Spirit? Absolutely. Sure it is. The way you live, that's God living in you to will and to do. You see? That's Him doing it. It's not you, it's Him. That's why, you know, I can't understand, how people can think, you know, in terms of, well, I'm such a good Christian. No, you're not. Your righteousness is filthy rags. And I don't want to get graphic with it, but it is. If the Spirit of God is in you, it makes you live like Christ. Christ-like. Then you become a written epistle read of all men. Christ in you reflecting His light out of you. As God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself and reflecting God in His own body, no man has seen God at any time, but the only begotten of the Father has declared Him. God was in Christ, and what Christ's attitude was, God's attitude, because the two work together, the spirit and flesh united together. So you see, His very life in you is His very nature. If His nature is living your life, then you will do what He did. There is no way of getting around that. All right? Now, from Christ is a mystery, then the word moves down into the body from the head. What is it? The same word. Nothing can be added or taken from it. So that same word moves from head as the day comes close down into the body, vindicating that they are one. Their husband and wife, their flesh of His flesh, word of His word, life of His life. I'm going to add, and it's not adding to, but nature of His nature, spirit of His spirit. See, that's what nature means, spirit. See, amen. How do you know it? Bears the same record. Same fruit, same word, see? Manifest Christ, same life, same God, same spirit, same word, same book, amen. Same signs, things that I do, shall you do also. So, if you're living like Him, talking like Him, thinking like Him, you're doing the works of Christ. You don't have to do great big miracles. You know, people think that they got to do, oh, I got to stop storms and all this stuff. You don't have to do it. You know, just live like Him, talk like Him, act like Him. And you know what? The works will follow. All right? Now, from Christ is a mystery. They said, we receive the Holy Ghost when we believe. The Bible said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? There's a difference, see? That's right, see? And they say, we're the Catholic Church. We started early. We did this. The Methodists say, well, we are based upon the Bible. Jesus said, these signs shall follow them that believe. Now, where is it at? Where's it at? All right, see, right? The works that I do shall you do also. Every creature, every person that believes in Him. Now, where is it at? That's His words. Heavens and earth will pass away, but my word shall never fail. Now, where is it at? See? Oh, it just shows. What is it? It's a hybrid condition. Now, you see, I am so embarrassed of so-called bride members who will have something happen to them and just say, well, it's just a coincidence. God don't work in coincidence. It's God. See, when He says, where's it at? Well, start looking in your life. And you see, look, I would have had an accident, but God saved me. I would have done this, but God did this. I went to the mall, and God spoke to me and said, why don't you go over here? I went over there, and there was a great sale. All right? Now you say, well, that's not God. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Brother Branham opened his door, and three little leaves whirled around, and he looked at that, took his hat off, and he treated it right. He took it with respect and said, that may be God. All right? Or that is God. You've got to start looking as God looks. Notice again, he says, every person, and after he mentioned John 14:12, he then asks the question, where is it at? It's supposed to be in the church. So, where is it at? Therefore, it is supposed to be in the church. So where is it at? And what has prevented it from manifesting openly as he longed to see it? That's why I say you should be keeping a log. Honestly, you should keep a diary. And when God acts in your life for you, you should write it down. And you'd be surprised how many times God has interceded in your own life. And he did things for you, and you were just along for the ride. Like the old proverb, you know, in sands on the foot of time, or footprints on the sands of time. You know, the person was walking hand in hand with Jesus, and they said, but during the hard times, there was only one set of footprints. He said, why is that? He said, because that was me carrying you. All right? So, and finally, he says, in the sermon, question and answers, Brother Branham, can a man do the works of Christ unless he was Christ? That's what it is, unless he was Christ. Sure. Take John, just a minute, St. John 14, 12 chapter. And I want you to look at this now. If you can catch it right quick, St. John 14, 12, I believe it is. Well, we'll get to it right away. And look what Jesus said about this, all right? Verily, verily, I say unto you, he, and then he explains who it is, whoever it is. He that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. Any man. The man himself can't be Christ, but the works of Christ will follow every believer. See, he'll do the works of Christ in any man. He that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. Not I shall do. He shall do. He shall not I, but he believes in me and has confessed his faith in me and died out to himself. That's the key right there. Died out to himself. And my spirit dwells in him, and then he becomes a part of me. Now, that don't make him Christ. It makes him part of Christ with the rest of the church, all right? He is not Christ, because that would be anti-Christ, you see. He would be taking away from Christ, but he can be. He can do the works of Christ in any believer, all right? Now, if you believe that God can only do the works of Christ in Brother Branham, then what you are saying is you don't have the Holy Ghost. You don't have the nature of Christ. You don't have the life of Christ. You don't say what he says. You don't think like he thought. You see? That's what you're saying. That his life can only be in one person. That's William Brown. It's just so stupid. I mean, I can't understand how stupid that is. Well, he's a personal pronoun, and it means singular. No, just listen. When you say the word he, you're speaking of a people. Now, sometimes it could be one person, but other times it could be, you know, a group of people, and you just say he, like of the United States, she. It's a person. I mean, but it's many people, many tongues, many, you know, come together. Like, speaking of the Catholic Church, she, the whore. Or the of a woman, she, speaking of the church. You see, is it, oh yeah, it's a personal pronoun. Well, maybe you need a few more pronouns, and I don't mean like 72 of them. I mean, you might understand what a pronoun is, okay? All right, so notice he says in multiple ways, he, that is John 14, 12, refers to whoever it is, and in any man, and in every believer, and again, in any man, and in any believer, etc. Now, this is the explanation for the question concerning John 14, 12, that a vindicated prophet of God said. And from his sermon, sirs, we would see Jesus. Brother Branham said, now according to the scripture, we are supposed to be written epistles of him. The Bible says we are written epistles. And if tonight, if we would hunger and thirst to see the Lord Jesus, we as Christian believers should reflect his life so much till it would be the very entire representation. He should be that. Every Christian should represent and reflect the life of Jesus Christ. Do you believe that? And I believe that every Christian should be reflecting the life of Christ. He said in St. John 14, 12, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And then we know that that's true, that we are his representatives. And if we claim that Christ lives in us, and if Christ lives in us, then we should do as Christ did. We should reflect his life. So you can't be a Christian and say it only belongs to William Brown. Now, question 6, rising of the sun. As Christ was the first one to raise from all the prophets and so forth, although typed in many places, he was the first fruits of those that slept. in the bride coming of Christ, coming out of the church. There'll have to be a sheaf waved again in the last days. Oh my. Waving of the sheaf. What was the sheaf? The first one that come to mature. I want you to think about that. The first one that come to mature. The first one that proved it was a wheat, that proved it was a sheaf. Hallelujah. I'm sure you see what I'm talking about. It was waved over the people. And the first time there will come forth for the bride age, for a resurrection, out of dark denomination, will be a message that the full maturity of the word has turned back again to its full power and being waved over the people by the same signs and wonders that he did back then. What's he talking about? Himself. Christ in him. All right? Question. Is this concern one man? Or does it concern those who will attend maturity in the last days? Now listen. When I go and take a wave sheaf out of my land, when they take it and they test it for the water level, if it's 85% or more, then they will harvest the rest of the crop. The rest of the crop is not a wave sheaf. There's just the one that's wave sheaf. So, number two. Now, it was nearing the day of the Feast of Pentecost, from the cleansing of sanctuary, the killing of Paschal lamb, until the coming of the Pentecost, which was the first fruits of the harvest, the Jubilee, and Pentecostal Jubilee, and on the buildings. Now, I've been in this country, the Oriental country. Solomon had a stairway inside. The stairway was outside. Outside the temple, we're told, there was a stairway that led up to a little room way along, go up and up, till you get to that little room up there, like a storage room in the top of the temple, some kind of little room, an upper room. Now, so the question is this mean that the waving of the first fruits, who will be the living saints, will be done in the tent? Not necessarily. I would not go that far as to say the bride unless you include the one-man ministry of William Branham. Now, the wave sheaf is definitely Christ because God changes not. Therefore, it was Christ in William Branham in this hour was the wave sheaf. He was the one who had a pre-resurrection meeting. He will have the post-resurrection meeting. But he always uses one man, one man. All right? Now, we have a question from South America. So if Brother Branham says, my ministry is to declare him that he's here, is it correct to say, our Father who art in heaven, when Brother Branham points out that he is here? My answer is, we are not Catholic. We don't say prayers. We pray. From Oddball, Brother Branham said, we don't say prayers, we pray. She said, we are no more Catholic. She said, we believe like you believe. We want you to take us all and baptize us the way you baptize. We want the Holy Ghost. So I guess that about sums it up. We don't say prayers, we pray. In other words, we don't say, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. We say, God, I know you're my Father. I don't care where you're at, but I know you're here, and I know you're listening to me. And so I come in Jesus' name, your firstborn son. You see, that's the way you pray. You don't pray. You don't pray prayers. Jesus was telling us how to pray. He didn't say it. We're supposed to have a prayer called Our Father. You know, he was acknowledging that. So, number two, the brother Leavale said he once thought Alpha was parallel to Omega, but he said now I think Alpha is equal to Omega. Well, I don't recall those words. I think he said Alpha is Omega. But my question is, just as Jesus, after his resurrection, spent 40 days preaching about the kingdom of God and performing miracles, will Brother Branham also resurrect at the end time and be the one to do the same at this time? So my answer is, it was Brother Branham who said the Alpha and Omega is the same. Didn't call it parallel. He said they are the same. He said, I am Alpha and Omega. He never say anything in between. I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. That's it. The first ministry and the last ministry is the same. Well, who was the prophet of the hour? Guess what? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. But he works through a man. He's working through a man. So, the first ministry and the last ministry of Christ, I say, is the same. The first message and the second message, the last message, is the same. I was in Alpha. I'm in Omega. There it is. It's him all the way. All right. Now, what happened in Alpha? Jesus had a pre-resurrection ministry. And guess what? He had a post-resurrection ministry. So too must this ministry be the same. A pre- and a post-resurrection ministry. Or it would not be the same. So I'm looking forward to it. All right. Question three. Is the beast that rises from the sea Rome, or is it the Pope of Rome? Is the beast that rises from the earth the United States, or is it the leader of the World Council of Churches? Well, just all you got to do is read your Bible. We're going to get into this next week, and really, it's just an outstanding sermon on the image of the beast and who he is, and you know the beast and everything about it. But I will say, I'll be going into much detail on the next week when we begin our mini-series on the World Council of Churches. But the beast which rises from the sea is Rome. It says it's a city that sitteth upon seven hills. But the Vatican, which is in Rome, so within the city is a city, but it's a city-state, all right, is a city-state that's in Rome. It is called the Roman Catholic Church. It's not called the Vatican Catholic Church. It's called the Roman Catholic Church. The beast that rises out of the earth is the United States, but the image of the beast is given power to rule by her. So you see, the United States is the beast that rises up, but she gives power to the WCC, okay, the World Council of Churches. Now, according to Revelation 19:20 and Revelation 20:10, are the beast and the false prophet the same person, or are they two different people? Well, the answer is, I think it would be best to answer this with some quotes. There are many, so I will just give you a few to save time. Basically, the Antichrist is Satan in a man. And when he is crowned and breaks the pact with man, that same Satan in a man becomes the beast. Now, from the fourth seal, Brother Bram said, we find out here that this Satan, after being kicked out of heaven, incarnates himself in the beast. And now he is a beast. Antichrist, false prophet, and now beast. And given the name of death, and hell follows him. Fully Satan on his throne. Oh my, on the earth, he's Satan, representative on the earth, that he now is head of the kingdoms of the world, the very same kingdoms that he offered to the Lord Jesus in Matthew 4. Satan now becomes a full king. Now this happens later on. He's false prophet now. Why is he false prophet? Guess what? Why is he false prophet? Well, he's religious, right? But why is he false prophet? Because what he says are lies. There is not a Trinity. There is not a Mary worship. There is not. He's teaching lies. Okay? Satan now becomes a full king. Now, this happens later. He's a false prophet now. He will become beast after a while when he breaks this covenant there with the Jews. So we won't see it. Because that's in the middle of the tribulation period. Now, from the fourth seal. Now, you see, he was cast out of the earth and become incarnate. As the Antichrist spirit become incarnate into a man, that man changes from one thing to another, from one Antichrist spirit to a false prophet, and then the beast comes into him, just exactly like the church grows. See, so you got a parallelism. The Holy Spirit, through the churches, through justification, through sanctification, the same Holy Spirit, through baptism of the Holy Ghost, same Holy Spirit, now incarnates the bride at the end time. He does the same thing with the first rider is white. It looks religious, but it's a blasphemous doctrine called Nicolaitan, man over people. Secondly, he then becomes a red horse. Third, he becomes a black horse, which is death. And finally, he incarnates and becomes a beast. Okay, so you got the false prophet, you got the Antichrist, becomes false prophet, and he becomes a beast. So it's the same Satan all the way through, the same God all the way through. his church went from Antichrist to false prophet. And in the great age to come, the beast that is to rise up, so the church comes the same way, through justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost, is Christ being in the people, just exactly. And he's got the antitype of it over there. See, the type of it, rather. There he is, just exactly. That's him kicked out of heaven. Now, one more quote. Then, we find out his ministry here is in his church and state. The fourth stage of this of his ministry, he's called the beast. He's called the Antichrist, see? Then he's called the false prophet, and he's called the beast. Now, we find him here being called as the beast. Now, I want you to notice that that's after the fourth horse, and in those fourth horse, if you'll notice, all the first one was white, then the next was red, then the next was black, and the fourth one was a brindle. All of these other three was represented in it because pale is red and white and so forth and so mixed together. See, so he is all mixed in this one horse. See, and there he comes. He becomes fourth, or actually the three in one, and it was all mixed up into that one thing. So it's not some guy named Maserati or some crazy name of some guy who lives in the Middle East and, you know, he's the Antichrist. You know, you see this stuff all the time on YouTube and, you know, I'm going to teach you about the Antichrist and this man, he's a really... Forget it. It's the Catholic Church. It's been the Catholic Church all the way through. And who leads the Catholic Church? The false prophet leads the Catholic Church. And he's Antichrist, you see? And he'll become the beast. All right. Now, with God, we're all baptized into one spirit, the same way with Satan. They're all baptized into one spirit. It's all one spirit. So, you know, you got two spirits in this world, God and Satan. Guess what? Who's leading you? And who's leading them? That's why they're so wicked. That's why there's wars and rumors of wars. And that's why there's child abduction, child sacrifice, and everything else. It's all their, you know, they're just false worship of Moloch, you know? All right, now question number five. If the beast and false prophet of Revelation 19:20 are two different persons, well, I just explained that it's one person, Satan, all the way through, who incarnates the last pope. After the rapture and during the great tribulation is the beast, Satan, Superman, Satan incarnate, the last pope of Rome, and the false prophet, the leader of the World Council of Churches, or the opposite, the beast is the leader of the World Council of Churches and false prophet. All you got to do is just read the fourth seal and you have your answers. Brother Bram was very, very definitive on that. And, you know, I'm sorry if they're not reading the message down there, but they should be reading it. All right. Now, finally, in number five, Satan incarnates the last pope. We see God all the way through, and the four riders on the four colored horses is the same rider on different manifestations. So we are watching Satan all the way through from the beginning, the spirit, then the doctrine, the manifestation of the Catholic Church, until finally he is incarnate in the last pope. He is crowned, and Satan's Eden is now in full manifestation, and God destroys it all. Let's pray. Gracious Father, we're so thankful we won't see that time. But we do see it because we see the seed of it, but we won't see the manifestation of that one thing. But then again, that's not one of the signs of the parousia. So we don't even think about it because the parousia is for us, because we're in his presence. So Father, we just thank you for these things. And we know there's things for the Jews and things, you know, for people that are going to be go through tribulation. I'm not interested in what they have to, you know, what you have for them, because it's not for me. I'm just interested in what you have for me, and that is what you have for your bride. So, Lord, we just thank you for these things and ask you to bless them now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.